Ted's eyes appeared to be shaking in their sockets. A moment later, she realized this wasn't actually the case. The man's pupils were growing and then shrinking with eerie rapidity. It was as if they couldn't decide if it was light or dark in here. "It's not a door we're going through at all. At least, not of the kinds with which you may be familiar. You have to trust me, young man. Listen." They all fell silent, and Susanna could hear the snarl of approaching motors. "That's the Weasel," Ted told them. "He'll have Tyheen with him, at least four, maybe half a dozen. If they catch sight of us in here, Dink and Stanley are almost certainly going to die. They don't have to catch us, but only catch sight of us. We're risking our lives for you. This isn't a game, and I need you to stop asking questions and follow me."
"We will," Roland said, "and we'll think about the little needle."
"Stick teety," Susanna agreed. "You won't get sick again," Dinky said. "Promise."
"Thank God," Jake said.
"Thank God,"
Hoy agreed.
Stanley, the third member of Ted's party, continued to say nothing at all. 4. It was just a closet, and an office closet at that, narrow and musty. The ancient red blazer had a brass tag on the breast pocket with the words, "Head of Shipping," stamped on it. Stanley led the way to the back, which was nothing but a blank wall. Coat hangers jingled and jangled. Jake had to watch his step to keep from treading on Oi. He'd always been slightly prone to claustrophobia, and now he began to feel the pudgy fingers of the panic man caressing his neck, first one side and then the other. The risers clanked softly together in their bag. 7 people and 1 Billy Bumbler crowding into an abandoned office closet? It was nuts. He could still hear the snarl of the approaching engines. The one in charge called the Weasel.